Morning. Okay. So just to make sure that everyone is on the same page with alcohol, when we're talking about alcohol use, one drink is considered to be an alcoholic beverage that contains 0.6 ounces of pure alcohol. So that amount is found in 12 ounces of beer, 8 ounces malt liquor, 5 ounces of wine, or a 1.5 ounce shot of liquor. And this was sort of covered by RP, but just to review, excessive drinking includes binge drinking, heavy drinking, or any drinking by people under 21 or those who are pregnant. And binge drinking is defined as 4 or more drinks on an occasion for women and 5 or more drinks on an occasion for men. Heavy drinking is defined as an average of 8 or more drinks per week for women and an average of 15 or more drinks per week for men. Excessive alcohol use is the fourth leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Every year in Michigan, there are about 3,000 alcohol-attributable deaths due to excessive drinking, which lead to over 84,000 years of potential life lost. The economic cost of excessive alcohol use was $8.2 billion for the state of Michigan in 2006, and that equates to $2.16 per drink. Alcohol outlet density is one of the ways that excessive alcohol use can be affected. Alcohol outlet density refers to the number of places that sell alcohol in a given area. Higher density has been shown to be related to increased alcohol consumption and related harms, and the Community Preventive Services Task Force recommends in its community guide that regulatory authorities, such as licensing and zoning, be used to limit alcohol outlet density to reduce these harms. There are two overarching types of alcohol outlets, on-premise and off-premise. On-premise outlets are places that sell alcohol to be consumed on the premises, such as bars and restaurants, and off-premise outlets are places that sell alcohol to be consumed off the premises, such as liquor stores. So the community guide has a sort of complex analytic framework showing all the presumed pathways along which alcohol outlet density interventions can lead to changes in public health outcomes. So I've just pulled out the part of that framework that's relevant to my analysis today. So the idea here is that increased alcohol outlet density results in a lower distance to alcohol outlets, which increases the access that people have to those outlets and increases their excessive alcohol use and related health and social problems. Excessive alcohol consumption and alcohol-related health and social problems are both the public health outcomes with which we're concerned. And for this study, we measured the distance to alcohol outlets and their effect on alcohol-related hospitalizations. So the objective of this study was to determine the association of alcohol outlet density with alcohol-attributable hospitalizations among Michigan residents. And this would allow us to quantify the burden on the healthcare system and to document any geographic disparities that may exist. For the outcome, we used alcohol-attributable hospitalizations, and these data came from the Michigan inpatient database that Tom was talking about. This includes all event-level discharge records at Michigan hospitals in contiguous areas of Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin. And to identify those hospitalizations which were alcohol attributable, we used the primary ICD-9 codes that are used by the CDC's Alcohol-Related Disease Impact Tool, or ARDI. So for this study, I focused on acute alcohol attributable codes, and those were 980.0 and 980.1 for alcohol poisoning and 790.3 for excessive blood level of alcohol. I obtained zip code level counts of events that had these primary ICD-9 codes for Michigan residents only, and in the four-year period of 2010 to 2013. A list of liquor license types and addresses from 2012 was used to geocode the location of our liquor licenses in Michigan. And these geocoded addresses were then used to calculate the population weighted distance to the nearest 7 on-premise outlets and then the nearest 7 off-premise outlets. So this measure, which I will also refer to as PWD, served as our measurement of alcohol outlet density. It was developed by Xingyu Zhang and was published in 2011 in an article modeling spatial accessibility to parks. The reason it refers to the seven closest outlets is the psychological research has shown that the upper limit of choices from which we can make a consistent decision is 7 ±2. And since location proximity is important for spatial decisions, it follows that our choice set of alcohol outlets is most likely the seven closest outlets. So there are three main ways that alcohol outlet density can be calculated. Alcohol epidemiologists generally agree that the best measures of alcohol outlet density are distance-based, followed by area-based, and then finally population-based. Distance-based measures, such as our population-weighted distance here, calculate the distance that people have to travel to get to alcohol outlets. The ideal way of calculating this distance would be along roadways known as network distance, which would capture the actual routes people are taking to get there. Euclidean or straight line distance is theoretically always shorter than network distance, but it's used in this study as a convenient approximation. Area-based measures capture the number of outlets per square mile or other unit of land area, and population-based measures look at the number of outlets per 1,000 population or another population unit, and they are generally advised against except as a last resort because they don't take into account convenience costs associated with distance and area. So these are some descriptive results for the on and off-premise density measures as well as our hospitalization rate per 1,000 population. You can see that the on and off-premise population weighted distances, this is in miles, are very similar with the mean and median slightly lower or more dense for off-premise than for on-premise. And the average hospitalization rate was 0.13 per 1,000 population, zip code population. And the median was zero, which shows you that more than half of our zip codes did not have any hospitalizations in our study period. But the zip code rates do reach up to 2.78 per 1,000 population. So these maps show the zip code level population weighted distance in miles to the nearest seven on-premise outlets on the left and off-premise outlets on the right. The colors are the quartiles of data, with the darker colors being lower population weighted distance and greater alcohol outlet density. The areas with the highest levels of alcohol outlet density are around major Michigan cities. The most obvious one is in the Detroit metro area on the east side of the state, but there are also smaller pockets around other major cities as well. This map shows the acute alcohol attributable hospitalization rate per 1,000 by zip code, and the numbers for some of these zip codes were kind of small, so we had to suppress some of them, but you can still see that there are higher rates of hospitalizations in the Detroit area as well as near Flint and Bay City. To model our zip code level data, we looked at using Poisson regression, but found that negative binomial regression had a much better model fit. And so we used zero inflated negative binomial regression because more than half of the counts of our hospitalizations were zeros. And as I said before, the exposure was our measure of alcohol outlet density or population weighted distance, and our outcome was the count of acute alcohol attributable hospitalizations. The offset used was the population of the zip code, and so this allowed us to interpret the outcome as rates. And we used backwards elimination to test for the inclusion of some zip code level demographic covariates from the American Community Survey. And the ones we tested for were the percent of the zip code that was male, under 18, 65 and older, below poverty, and white. So these are the results of the regression modeling. There were two separate models, one for on-premise in the first row and one for off-premise. The coefficient estimate in each is the population-weighted variable representing alcohol outlet density. And so after exponentiating the estimates in each model, we have following results. So in the on-premise model, for every one additional population-weighted mile to the nearest seven on-premise outlets in a zip code, the acute alcohol attributable hospitalization rate in that zip code decreases by 42%. And in the off-premise model, holding percent of the zip code below poverty constant for every one additional population-weighted mile to the nearest 7 off-premise outlets in the zip code, the acute alcohol-attributable hospitalization rate in that zip code decreases by 51%. So conclusions from the study, we found through mapping that areas around major cities had the closest access to alcohol outlets, as well as the highest alcohol-attributable acute hospitalization rates. Regression analysis found that acute alcohol-attributable hospitalization rates were higher in places that had higher alcohol outlet density measured by a low distance of travel to outlets. There were several strengths to the study. First, it was statewide. Many existing studies about outlet density and hospitalizations focus on a specific city or county. Second, it was on a zip code level, which is a relatively small geographic unit, and so this allows for finer precision, and it's also a little more practical for sharing maps with the public who may know their zip code, but not something like a census tract or block group. And finally, the study used a distance-based measure of alcohol outlet density, which is considered by experts to be superior to both population and area-based measurements. Due to the data we had available to us, there are also a few limitations. The zip code available in our hospitalization data refers to the zip code of the patient's residence and not the zip code in which they were hospitalized. So this is really more of an ecological study, kind of showing the effect of where you live affecting your chances of hospitalization. Another limitation is that acute alcohol-attributable hospitalizations may not always be coded as such. This could be because there's a more direct reason they're admitted, such as like hitting your head or getting in a car accident, or for other reasons like insurance coverage or legal concerns. Finally, since our data was only capturing patients who were admitted to the hospital, we are missing many alcohol-related health events which were not severe enough to require hospital admission. Ideally, we would link our hospitalization data with emergency department records, but unfortunately, we do not have an ED database in Michigan. So, we are currently working on incorporating autocorrelation corrections to our models to account for the tendency of neighboring zip codes to be similar to one another, and this will help make our results even more reliable. Another next step for this project is doing further analysis with other types of alcohol-attributable hospitalizations, such as those which are chronic or injury in nature. The public health implication of this research is consistent with the systematic literature review by the Community Preventive Services Task Force, which found that limiting alcohol outlet density may reduce alcohol-attributable hospitalizations. One of the most effective ways this can be addressed is through policy. The community guide recommends that alcohol outlet density be regulated to reduce or limit the increase of alcohol outlet density, and this regulation is often implemented through licensing or zoning. So the CDC publishes the prevention status report every year to highlight the status of public health policies and practices designed to prevent or reduce important health problems. One of the policies they look at to reduce excessive alcohol use is the local authority to regulate alcohol outlet density. States can receive a green, yellow, or red rating based on the comprehensiveness of their policies in each category. And so this graph is showing the number of states with each rating, and Michigan is yellow for this category because we have exclusive state alcohol retail licensing with some local zoning authority. And to get to green, local communities would have to have complete or joint control over their alcohol retail licensing, because when local communities have more control, they can make more informed decisions about how additional liquor licenses will affect their own communities. I would like to thank my co-authors and mentors, as well as Tony Olkowski, for helping me with geocoding. And this is my contact information and our website for more information about alcohol epidemiology in Michigan. And I am happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Sort
I use zip code tabulation area from the American Community Survey. I didn't have to do that, so I don't know, maybe something has changed, but I it was at the zip code level. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The distance measure that you talked about, to measure the density of, you know, distance to liquor stores, which is also measured at the zip code level. So was it captured by measuring the distance between the zip code centroid to the nearest 7 liquor stores?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So is that a building function of one of the tools of ArcGIS, or was it an algorithm-based?
That part of the analysis was sort of done with Xing Yeo from the CDC, and so I don't know all the details about the methodology.
I assume you've given the presentation you gave back on the pre-conference workshop on substantive views, is that because the distance is calculated at the census at the census block level, you can aggregate it up to any other unit of interest. So I think it's aggregated up from the census level.
That's interesting, because I know there are tools for that. But then your presentation is always align the function.
Yeah, yeah. But if you start with the smallest units measurement, you can always aggregate up rather than it's more problematic to aggregate, to break down.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we can get you in touch with Xing Yeo for this kind of question.
I'm sorry to hog this right now. And my another question is kind of related to your future recommendation, that is to do autocorrelation adjustment, which is, I think you can probably account for that by using the geographically weighted regression.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that in RGIS allows for zero weighted
poisoning question. I know that what Xing Yeo is doing for that is in WinBugs, some software program. So that might be where you would look for that.
Great.
Yeah. Yes.
thank you. Very, very nice presentation and very interesting methods. But what I wanted to ask about kind of comes back to what we were just discussing in the previous presentation about the college students, because it seems to me if you have college students who aren't residents and aren't being captured, maybe their billing address is their parents' home, so even with billing addresses, you're going to bias away a little bit because college areas might tend to have more bars, but so you're going to see a higher density of alcohol establishments and perhaps a misleadingly low estimate of hospitalizations if you're not capturing your college student population.
Mm-hmm.
So just something to maybe consider, because you kind of know the university population, so you can always add that in or consider adjusting for that. And then the other thing is, I thought is very interesting, the psychological literature, because like if I'm going out to a restaurant, I don't really consider how close it is. I go to where I want to go, but if you're going to buy something to take out, you might go closest. So I wonder if there's a little bit of difference in that, but I'll trust the psychological literature because I haven't done that research. I found that a little bit interesting, because I would think the decision-making process would be different when you're going out to eat versus running out to grab something. But thank you for a very nice presentation.
Thank you. Yes?
I have one other thought kind of along your lines with the colleges. In our community, we have a detox facility where law enforcement can divert folks instead of sending them to the hospital, and it's like a 24-hour facility.
Mm-hmm.
Where at like people who have public intoxication or after there's a PU game or something like that, that's where they send all the folks who are publicly intoxicated instead of overloading the hospital. So that might be another missed segment if communities have those types of facilities.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of other alcohol-related harms that are missed when you only look at hospitalization data, but I mean it's like the data that we have, and it's we're doing the best that we can with it. Yes?
So both of those comments are things that, thinking it through, would reduce the size of the effect that you're seeing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So even even with these things, or people who go like up north and go snowshoeing or snowmobiling and crash, and, you know, their hospitalizations would be counted in southern Michigan, not in northern Michigan, where the crash occurred. So there's lots of other ways I could say, oh, you're in this Michigan, this,
yeah.
But part of the issue is you still see the effect, mm-hmm. and that's what we want to get across to policymakers.
Absolutely. I just thought if you increase the impact even more to the policymakers, make more of an impact. But yeah,
right.
The fact that you still got caught it was impressive.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could go back to one of your slides where you presented the 49% and the 53 or whatever that ended up being. This one, yeah. So could you talk a little bit more about this one and translate it into more general terms? When you talked about it, it just, what you were trying to get, the point, I guess, didn't come through, for me at least. And so I was wondering if you could say a little bit more, because on-premise, distance, and those things.
Okay, I mean, the overall point is basically that the hospitalization rate is decreasing by 42% for on-premise licenses for every 1 mile increase in density.
Okay, that's okay. And then similarly for the off-premise?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's just like a lot of like little things I have to like say to make the definition like official. But yes, that's the general idea.
If I can just clarify even more, it's counterintuitive that the more distance or the less density you have between outlets that sell alcohol for either serving on-premise or off-premise, you are decreasing the chances or the risk for hospitalization. So the lower the density, the less risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of
right.
No, no, that helps. It's just when you first read it, it didn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't as clear.
Higher density, more hospitalizations. Lower density, less hospitalizations. Yes. Yep.
Hi. Okay. So, your footnote number, the second footnote, model adjusted. So you said you looked at ACS variables for percent male, percent poverty, blah 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 blah. But then after backward elimination, did you just retain percent below poverty as part of your adjusted model?
Yeah.
You say that like with such resignation. I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean that was through the backward elimination process. That's like the one that ended up being like making a significant difference. Yeah.
I don't know if this is possible, but when someone applies for a liquor license, do they have to state what type of liquor they're going to sell? So, is it, if you get like a license, you can sell hard alcohol, wine, or beer? Or is it just, you get the liquor license, you can sell any type of alcohol?
There are all different kinds of licenses. So you can get one that's, you know, beer and wine, or you could get just liquor, beer and wine. So you have to apply for a specific type, and there are different limits on the number of all the different types. So for this, we were just putting all of the on-premise types together and all of the off-premise types together.
Thank you.